This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 20th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. Here are today's comments from the hits and takes section of JLN. New contributors to the JLN Markets Wiki GoFundMe campaign include Chris McNulty. McNulty Sr. is a managing director and COO at Geneva Trading. Thank you to all who have given and all who have yet to give. You can help us preserve the history of our industry by supporting this fundraising campaign. FTSE Russell has a webinar on Thursday, October 22nd at 12 p.m. Eastern Time about what's been driving U.S. equity markets outperformance. You can register at johnlothiannews.com on today's newsletter. Reminder, the webinar with quantitative brokers and Eurex on transaction cost model market liquidity impacted across European interest rate futures is on Wednesday, October 21st at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. Again, the registration is on the newsletter on johnlothiannews.com. One more note about the passing of Ross Prio III. His family was asking for donations to the William Guy Forbeck Research Foundation or the American Heart Association. Here is the story on the Forbeck Foundation. In 1983, at the age of 10, William Billy Guy Forbeck was diagnosed with neuroblastoma, a rare childhood cancer that affects only 650 children a year. Billy died 13 months later. His parents, George and Jennifer Forbeck, established the foundation in his memory. George Forbeck was a longtime member of the Chicago Board of Trade and a large and influential corn pit broker. The foundation promotes advances in the field of oncology, particularly pediatric oncology, by shortening the cancer research timetable. This is just another example of the good work done in the world by someone from the world of futures. Last week, the Wall Street Journal had a story about CBOE founder Joseph Sullivan III, which made reference to a plywood contract at the CBOT and said the contract flopped. According to a paper written by then-CBOT chief economist Richard Sandor, NYMEX actually listed an unsuccessful plywood contract in 1969. It traded 5,299 contracts its first year. At the Chicago Board of Trade, interest in developing a plywood contract went as far back as 1957. A newly hired researcher in what was to become the planning department researched the plywood market and delivered an extensive report in January of 1969. The CBOT members voted 514-25 on July 29, 1969, to approve trading in plywood futures. After some revisions to the contract specifications, plywood futures started trading on December 1, 1969. The plywood contract traded 394 contracts in 1969 and then 47,426 in 1970. There were more than 1,000 contracts settled by delivery in 1970. The paper by Sandor was published in the Journal of Law and Economics in April of 1973 as part of the University of Chicago. I would call that a successful contract, though it ultimately did not survive. It actually survived longer as the basis of an NFA Series 3 question. I can remember the contract specifications were required to answer a question, even though in 1985 the contract had not traded for several years. The Chicago Board of Trade Clearing Corp Foundation has pledged $25,000 to the LaSalle Street Trading Tech Awards fundraising event. This is the last year of the foundation, so this donation is especially precious to the Boy Scouts. Thank you to all of the trustees for your unwavering support of the Boy Scouts of the Pathway to Adventure Council of the Boy Scouts of America, especially David Johnson, who has been an especially generous trustee. The LaSalle Street Trading Tech Awards event will be virtual this year and held on December 3rd. Pat Kenny of CQG is this year's chairperson. A reminder from Sarah Rudolph. The annual Conference of Futures and Derivatives will be held on October 20th at 1 p.m. Chicago time. Sponsored by Thompson, Coburn, and Exchange Analytics, the free online webinar will address the current state of industry regulation and enforcement. Speakers include James M. McDonald, the former Director of Enforcement for the CFTC, as well as ex-federal prosecutor and Thompson, Coburn partner Renato Mariotti. To register, go to johnlothiannews.com and see our newsletter from today. Here are some more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From Bloomberg, money laundering detectives have been out at the pub. Australian regulators got caught up monitoring nickel and dime business for far too long. The Crown Casino affair shows things are starting to change. Why did it take media reporting to get Australia's money laundering investigators to start looking into casino operator Crown Resorts Limited? Shares in the gambling company previously controlled by billionaire James Packer slumped 8.2% Monday after it said the country's financial crimes regulator, AUSTRAC, had started a probe into the handling of high-risk and politically exposed individuals in its Melbourne casino. The investigation started 2 months after Nine Entertainment Company newspapers published a series of articles about the activities of high-rolling Chinese gamblers at the Crown's properties. My comment was, what you catch all depends on the size of the hook you are using. Here's a story from CoinDesk. Cryptographers are always going to be, quote, one step ahead, unquote, of regulators. While regulators are trying to restrict privacy in crypto, their efforts may be futile, according to privacy-centric protocol Monero's maintainer, Ricardo Fluffy Pony Spagni. My comment is, funny, criminals say the same thing. Here's a story from Bloomberg again. Economist found $16 trillion when she tallied the cost of racial bias. Dana Peterson, who was a Citigroup global economist, recalled her own experiences of bigotry while researching how gaps between black and white Americans eat into economic output. As protests against racial injustice erupted across the U.S. in late May, an economist on Wall Street set aside her usual work of analyzing monetary policy and all things macro to try her hand at something few in her field have attempted, quantifying the cost of racism to the world's largest economy. My comment is, no matter who it is against, hold back economic growth. We reduce our human potential by succumbing to stupidity. Here are the top three most read stories from yesterday's JLN. We went from Chicago to London in our top three stories on Monday. First was, Chicago is the rattiest city in America for the sixth year in a row, from CNN. Second was, Citadel Security sues SEC from Chicago's Crane Chicago business. Third was Bloomberg's piece, Trading Ring That Survived Two World Wars May Succumb to a Virus, about the iconic London Metal Exchange trading ring. Here are your MarketsWiki stats of the day. MarketsWiki had 190,555,618 pages viewed, with 24,471 pages and 226,413 edits. This podcast has been sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Update. Please consider telling a friend, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.